welcome back to Broken Fuse Podcast. It's our 9th episode, so yeah, we have quite a few things to cover today. It's got some material to burn through, so yeah, we have John Giorgio here tonight. What have you been playing recently?
Yeah, with me, I've recently got back into the Castlevania games, and I'm still on Fire Emblem like usual.
Yeah, there is actually a new Castlevania game for the 360 and the PS3 that came out, I think, last week.
Yeah, I was looking to pick that up. I believe it's called the Final Fantasy.
It's like Lord of Shadows or something like that, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, because I recently got back into Curse of Darkness on the PS2, so think about picking that up, maybe. I haven't read too much on it, but we'll see. Should be good. Yeah.
Sounds like a good title anyways. From the trailers I've seen, it looks pretty solid. I'm Marcus, so yeah, I haven't been playing too much recently. Just recently downloaded Left 4 Dead 2 on Steam, so yeah. If you have Steam, message me sometime, and I'll add you. So, yeah, so let's get down to our first story. Is Microsoft says there won't be a Blu-ray drives for the 360, mainly due probably because of its competitor runs on Blu-ray. Its main competitor in its market, which is a PS3, runs on Blu-ray. So yeah. So what do you think about this? Not getting the Blu-ray drive, external drive at least, but it did get the external HD DVD drives back in the day.
Well, it doesn't, at this point, the 360, I guess it doesn't really matter, because the 360 is on its way out in the next 2 or 3 years, and with Kinect coming up, that's going to be where the money's going to be heading. I don't think people are aiming to buy the 360 for the Blu-ray. That's where PS3 is at.
Yeah, that's how I see it right now. It's not that great of a idea to put Blu-ray on the 360. It's already, you can find cheap Blu-ray players out there in the market for like $150, $200 these days. Or if you add another $100 for the PS3, you've got a gaming device right there. Or a little more, if you want to add a little more, you can get the PlayStation Move bundle with, that comes with, I think, the PS3, the 320GB PS3. Don't quote me on it, but I think it's that model. Yeah. I guess we'll move on to our next story, which is, Epic Games says the next Xbox could, well, possibly be a tablet PC of sorts, but in my opinion, the tablet market as a game, like games device, isn't what you would really want to go for with the core audience. Like, I've played around with the iPad. It's a great device in itself, but not as a hardcore gaming device itself. It doesn't really hold up to that. If I wanted to go for a hardcore gaming experience, I'd go for a solid home console, like what they're offering currently with the 360, the Wii, or the PS3.
Yeah, if you're just looking at handheld, I mean, it just seems like a bad idea. If you're looking at handheld, you're better off going with making something like what Sony has with the PSP or Nintendo with the DS instead of trying to pull this off. It's just going to be a little bit of a, I'm going to say a little bit of a failure idea.
This it's a bit of a stretch.
It might work, but that's just giving a little bit too much credit.
Yeah, they've been Microsoft has been successful in the home console market, but I don't think moving into the handheld market would be a smart move for Microsoft to do, mainly because the only successful competitor that's been out there that has been doing business that isn't Nintendo is Sony's PSP. That's the most successful handheld out there. besides the line that Nintendo has with the Game Boy and the DS. They're having other ones, like the Atari Lynx and other ones like that, that haven't been that successful. So it isn't that smart a move for Microsoft to go into handheld market.
Yeah, I just think it should just stick to the home console and the PC market, which is fine where Microsoft is. Moving into the handheld, it just might be suicide to try to compete with the 3DS that's coming out.
In about half a year.
Yeah, exactly. Because if they release anything within the next year, they're just going to be killed by the 3DS.
Yeah, plus there have been rumors that the PSP 2 might be coming out mid to late next year. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we'll move on to our next... something kind of neat is which is there is a gamer that... on the 360, it has a gamer score of 500,000 on his 360, which is a world record right now. The closest guy next to him has about 499,000 gamer score points right now.
Yeah, it's close enough to. Yeah.
It's close.
He's like maybe like 40,000 behind the leader, something like that.
That's the closest person that's come close to him, so yeah, that's something kind of neat that's going on out there. Yeah, something that we're going to move on to the Sony systems right now. So the DC Universe Online has been delayed until 2011, which I don't know too much about this game, but I know it's it sounds like it's going to be just polishing up what they have right now on the games. And also, the team behind Final Fantasy 13 hints at a sequel to the very linear Final Fantasy game that we just got earlier this year, too.
Every time with Final Fantasy 14?
Not 14. 14 was just released. Like a sequel as in like a story sequel, not a MMO sequel.
Oh, all right.
Which I'd like, but as long as it's not as linear as it was in 13, then I wouldn't mind another Final Fantasy game coming in.
As long as it's not too much of a remake, more or less, kind of built on slash new game, then it'll probably do alright, I guess.
It's Final Fantasy, but like the thing is, they need to reinvent themselves. Like back in the day when they just came out, it was like revolutionary. It was like a really good, top-notch game. All like this time around with 13, it's just really all I can see right now with 13 right now is it's basically eye candy, and there isn't. It's way too linear for my taste. I've played like halfway through and it's like can't take anymore. I have to put this down.
Yeah, unfortunately, I haven't gotten the chance to play 13, but as you've been saying, I haven't heard good reviews from it. I think the only reason that people are picking it up is because it's a Final Fantasy game, and Final Fantasy is probably one of the biggest
franchises out there right now.
Franchises that comes out of Sony. I know it's not.
Well, it's not Sony, it's Square Enix, so they do make games for other platforms.
Well, I think the Final Fantasy series started off on the PS and the PS2.
No, they didn't. They started off on Nintendo with the Final Fantasy up until FF6 were all on Nintendo systems. Final Fantasy 7 was the first one that was on a non-Nintendo system.
Oh, so I had it backwards.
Yeah, this time around at least.
I was probably thinking of some other series.
And same thing with Metal Gear Solid. It started on Nintendo, then it migrated over to Sony. Well, I guess we'll move on to our next story, which we kind of touched on, is the PSP 2 is rumored to be launched Christmas 2011. In my opinion, it's a good move, but they may have a bit of a lag behind the 3DS launch date of February 26th in Japan. But it's we haven't really got too many details on it right now for specs or anything, besides some developer that I remember reading a couple, like a month or so back, saying, quote unquote, it's powerful, and that's all we got from that one publisher.
Oh, the main thing that's going to sell the PSP 2 is probably going to have to be the games, because into the later half of the lifespan of the PSP, its games have really lacked, and that's what hurt the PSP. So hopefully PSP 2 is not going to fall into that category as well. But
yeah,
then
with
most systems, it's all about the launch titles. They don't have a good launch title, the system's not going to be picked up too well.
Yeah, it's like I got a PSP like 2 or 3 years ago, and I've played it for a good like solid 2 years before, like last like probably about a year to a year and a half ago. It's been collecting a lot more dust than it should be. So there have been a couple of good titles that came out this year, like Kingdom Hearts: Birth by Sleep, and also the Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker that came out a couple months back as well, which are worth getting.
Yeah. I'm not saying that PSP hasn't released any good games as of recent. I'm just saying that they're kind of falling out of good titles. They have
they need more support with better like high profile games like they have kind of been getting this year with like a couple titles like I think they got a God of War game that got released recently for it, and Kingdom Hearts and Metal Gear for it as well. They need some more big titles and also new titles that support the hardware, which all consoles need to continue selling. Well, I guess our next thing is that Sony is pulling the PSP SD, the software dev kits, on November 15th. This kind of supports the rumor of the PSP 2 coming out next year, since they are pulling out SDK kits, like the software dev kits, out of the market in about a month's time. So, yeah, for any software developers out there for the PSP, better buy your kits pretty soon.
I really don't know what to say about this thing.
Yeah, there isn't too much to say. It's just that. And there is a Killzone 3 multiplayer beta for a beginning. I think it was beginning this week or something like that, for all PlayStation Plus players that are out there. PlayStation Network Plus exclusive beta that's running, I think, now. And that beta... well, the PlayStation Network Plus, you need to pay a subscription of, I think, like $50 or something like that for 1 or 2 years. Which I don't really like, so I haven't got it myself. So, yeah, it's the same deal with the 360, the Xbox Live with the 360. I haven't renewed mine in probably a good year or so.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll move on to our next story. Is Iwata, President Satoru Iwata from Nintendo, says the 3DS software pricing shouldn't be too far off from the current pricing for current DS games, which is probably $25 to $40. So that's somewhat comforting, but the price itself for the 3DS isn't as enticing at the price point of 25,000 yen in Japan, which converts over to about $300, 300 US dollars.
Eh, well, I don't... Listing the gaming price for the games isn't what people are too interested in. They're more focused on what the actual price of the thing is. I mean, sure, it's good to know that the games aren't going to be too much more expensive, but what it really gets down to is what is going to be the official price of the 3DS. That makes or breaks the DS versus the prices of the DS games.
what I think is more important is like the functionality of the device itself and comparing to what we have now. The main difference is you get the 3D screen and like some other features that some basic multitasking with the 3DS that they say that it's going to provide. I'm really hoping that it does come down to below 250 because 300 is a little way too pricey. It's a home console price right now for 300 bucks. Like, I could buy a Wii and a half right there almost. So I'd really like the price to at least come down to 250, 225-ish, if it's possible.
But I wouldn't exactly compare these things to anything.
I know it's apples and oranges kind of deal.
I don't know, but the technology that's right there, the price may be just worth it.
Yeah, it's still...
it's cheaper than any 3D technology out there right now.
Yeah,
so
I know that. It's just that a lot of... They did a poll in Japan, which a lot of the people say, like, above 50% of the people polled said the 3DS price at 25,000 yen is too much and it should be brought down to a little bit cheaper for the masses, because... Looking at the DS prices, it's like it started at about like 150, 170, and it dropped down to about 120 right now. So it's like even with like at 120, it's like it's a great price for a wonderful device out there that revolutionized how we play games. And I'm thinking if they don't start it at 250 or below, it will cause a problem with like the initial market that does want it. Like it won't be as the device will not sell as virally as it has with, like, when you saw the Wii came out for $250, it sold out like crazy. Because that was the freaking deal right there, because it was, like, motion technology was new back then in 2006.
Exactly.
But at $300, it's, like, it's a bit iffy for most people right now. For handheld.
But that just relates to consumers want things at the cheapest price possible.
Not necessarily cheapest price. They will buy something if it's worth it. But it's just, the pricing is just... Like, in my opinion, like, people value home consoles more than they do handhelds because of some weird idea.
Usually it has to do with durability and capability. Technically, home consoles have more power than handhelds, so naturally, handhelds shouldn't cost the same price as a home console.
To a point, yes, but say... Yeah, so it's, I guess we'll move on to our next thing is, there will be a special Pokemon Black and White themed DSi heading to Japan. With the two legendary Pokemon printed on either a black or a white DSi that's coming up there. I think we might see this come over to Europe and North America, but you never know. It might not even make it over here, because, you know, sometimes exclusive hardware doesn't make it here all the time. It's like 95% of the time it never makes it out of Japan. Same thing with the 25th anniversary Mario DSi and DSi XL. It was a Japanese exclusive, but it is heading to Europe now. But if it's heading to Europe now, I'm pretty sure it's going to head over to North America in due time.
Thing about it is that DS and DSRs aren't region locked, right?
The DS itself is not region locked, but the DSi is.
Oh, the DSi is. Oh.
Yeah. That's the thing is if you import like the Pokemon Black and White from Japan, you cannot play that game on like a North American or European DSi, because it is region locked. And so is the downloadable content, like. DSiWare and all that stuff that comes off of there is region locked as well.
And that kind of kills my theory.
I guess we'll, anything else on that, or?
Not really.
I guess we'll move on to our next thing, is, there is a Red Limited Edition re-heading over to Japan and Europe to celebrate 25 years of Mario. There has been a word on American release for this Wii. For the Japanese version, you will be getting the original Super Mario Bros. On, like, preloaded on there. And the question blocks have, instead of question blocks on the, like, question marks on them, they have the letters 25 inscribed on them. But for the European version, you get the original Donkey Kong on there as a preloaded software. And I guess we'll move on to on other news for the Wii. We do have a new Wii Remote Plus coming to Japan on November 11th. It's basically the Wii Remote with a Wii Motion Plus built in, so you don't need to stick in that dongle every time you want to play a Wii Motion Plus enabled game. So it's convenient, but it's too little too late in my opinion.
I don't think it's going to make too much of a difference. I think people already have Wii Motes and Wii Plus. If you don't, if they don't have Motion Plus by now, then I don't know.
Yeah, but if it's like a brand new owner that gets the Wii, then it might be a better investment for them. But for the people who have already have Wiis and have one or two Motion Pluses already, then it's not really worth getting the extra Wii Remote Plus with a built-in Motion Plus.
Yeah, it's not going to do well. As I said, people already have Motion Plus.
Yeah.
Or if they don't, then...
If they don't and they don't have enough Wiimotes, then this might be a good investment for them. I guess that's...
Yeah, but that's probably going to be like less than 10% of...
Yeah, it's like, I'd say... 5% of the market might want to get this, but it's a really niche market now. Like 5-10% will get this.
Yeah.
So I guess that's a drain for now. As most of you might know, there is a Super Mario All-Stars coming out for the Wii, which includes the first three games plus the lost levels. And it's heading to Europe on December 3rd, just in time for... the Christmas season that's coming up pretty soon. And North America will be getting it, but I haven't been able to find a date for it just as of yet. I'm hoping that we get that nice red box that Japan is getting as well, which would be pretty neat.
I'm guessing these are for the Wii?
Yeah, the Wii.
It's going to be... Right there, just because of its name, it's going to be... a decent seller. It's not great.
Yeah, it's probably going to be, like, on the levels of, like, everyone that's played the original one, plus fans of Mario are going to pick it up. So it's going to be a pretty hot seller for the Christmas, especially if we get it here in North America for the Christmas as well. So we'll move on to the next thing is, Nintendo World Store in New York City is actually closed right now for renovations to make way for more DS booster that they really need. I think it's pretty neat that they're actually doing this, even though I haven't been down there for, I think, probably 4 or 5 years. I'd like to visit it. And they're reopening again on, I think, November 7th, just in time for beginning the Christmas season to let people in.
I really don't have much to say about this topic. It's good that they're renovating and probably making it bigger, changing up things.
Yeah. And that wraps it up for the Nintendo stuff we have for now. Something kind of neat is Panasonic revealed its new handheld gaming device for MMOs. They've done a home console before back in the 80s, which totally flopped. But this thing, I don't think it's going to fly because it designed just to play MMOs, and looks like it came out, literally came out of the 80s.
MMOs? Do people even concern themselves with those? I don't even know if anybody plays MMOs.
Massively multiplayer online games like World of Warcraft or StarCraft or Diablo, those count as MMOs. If you play online with a lot of people on the maps, it's an MMO.
On a handheld, I gotta say it's gonna flop. On a handheld.
On handheld, yes, but like for home consoles, I can see it going, like, taking off, but if it's for handheld, it's just meh. I don't think it's gonna go anywhere.
Yeah, MMOs are more for home consoles and PCs, more or less. You got like, games like StarCraft, Warcraft, all those, whatever.
Yeah. I guess that's it for that. There was a poll, actually, on gamesindustry.biz. It says that 63% of console owners that were polled think that it was only a firmware update was the only step needed for 3D gaming. And 83% believe 3D technology had to have glasses, which is contrary to what the 3DS has with the glasses-free 3D screen that it has. And also the screens that Toshiba is coming out, even though they're kind of small, are glasses-free 3D TVs. And for 63% that think they only need to update their console firmware, well, they're out of luck because they also need a 3D TV to play their 3D games. Although you can play movies like with a cheesy cardboard cutouts of the blue and red glasses on, but it's not like you want to do that with a $3,000 TV in your living room.
Yeah, I don't know. These polls seem kind of out there. I mean, a firmware upgrade isn't going to cut it because it's more than just the technology. It's more than just the firmware. It's actually the actual technology built in. So if that's going to happen, as you said, you're going to need a 3D TV. So.
It's a combination of the software and the gaming system and, of course, the hardware, which is our TV that emits a 3D signals, like 3D stuff to your eyes.
And even that's not going to work without the glasses if you're thinking it's just firmware and hardware upgrade.
Yeah. Even though most people think you do need glasses for it, there are some TVs out there that you do not need the glasses to see it in 3D. Although they're a lot smaller and a bit more expensive for the same size.
Yeah, this is why people should not really criticize the 3DS as a price based on other things, but I guess that's a whole different category in itself.
Yeah, I guess this wraps it up for the 3D segment of our podcast. We do have one last thing, I think, for on our show notes, which is there has been a breakthrough in the quote-unquote zero-power display, which can also do color and video, but the technology relies on ambient lighting in the room. What I see here is like, if it relies just on the ambient lighting, it's going to be really hard if you're like on a on a bus that doesn't have ample lighting. It's going to be really hard to do what's on your zero power display. It's a cool tech, but I think there should be the option of adding some kind of backlight to it or something like that.
I don't know if it requires light. It's kind of in and out of there. It might work, it might not work, but it's kind of iffy there. But for a system to rely on something like that, it's kind of a little bit careless on their part, but what are you going to do?
Well, yeah, it hasn't been released yet, so it isn't exactly careless. It's a brand new breakthrough. As I said earlier, it was just a breakthrough recently that they were able to do this. So I don't expect something like this to come out for at least another 5, 6, 7, 10 years at least.
Okay, so...
not until like they can mass produce something like this, I don't expect it to really take off.
Yeah, we'll see. It's one of those... you gotta see what it do before you can judge it.
Yeah. Anyways, I think this wraps it up for our show notes at least. Is there any other topics that you want to really touch upon?
Currently, no.
Yeah, one other thing that I want to remind our viewers others, for Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver, check your mystery gifts. You'll get a Mew between that. You will be able to get a Mew, level 5 Mew, on mystery gifts on your Heart Gold or Soul Silver cartridge for DS between October 15th and October 30th.
Which is pretty good that you haven't been able to get a legit Mew in a long time.
Yeah,
so take advantage.
Yeah, level 5 Mew, it's pretty awesome. The only other time you could have gotten Mew was during the Red and Blue days, during some kind of glitch on that you can find up on the internet that was just found recently too.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying this is like the only legit way to get a Mew for now. Well, other than maybe back in the Heartgold, actually, other than actually during the Ruby and Sapphire. You need a mystery item gift to get Mew, but that was only just in Japan that they had that. So.
Yeah, unfortunately, most things stay in Japan like that.
Yeah, so this is the only way anybody in North America can legitimately get a Mew. Because those mystery clips weren't released outside of Japan.
Yeah, I guess this concludes our podcast. For October 16th, 2010. We'll see you guys next week.
Peace.